Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY19 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Good evening and welcome everyone to this Q3 results call for Aditya Birla Capital. Clearly, we're talking about the end of a very interesting quarter and, in fact, a very interesting year in the financial services sector. I want to start by slide number three. Hopefully, all of you have got the presentation that's on the website, so I'll refer to the page numbers as I talk about each slide. So if I start with slide three, I think what this slide tells you is that over the last year, there's been significant progress in each of the three buckets that we have under Aditya Birla Capital: under protecting, investing, and financing. So let me first start with the left-hand side of the page, which is our protecting pillar. So this pillar really includes our life insurance premium and our health insurance premium. So if you look over here, you'll see year-on-year, our life insurance plus health insurance premium has grown by 39% to just under 2,000 crores at the end of December 2018. Underlying this overall growth, there's a very strong growth in our life insurance business, which grew 79% in the quarter versus an industry growth of 6%, as a result of which we gained market share of 138 basis points. Not only did we have very strong top-line growth in our life insurance business, but our gross VNB margin at 34% for the nine-month period FY19 is clearly very attractive relative to the industry levels of margin. And third, our health insurance business, which is a relatively new business, has grown very strongly with gross written premium at 140 crores for the last quarter, with about just under 60% retail in this overall mix. So very strong numbers overall on the protecting side of our business. If I move to the middle of the page to our investing pillar, which is largely our mutual fund, as you'll see from the chart over here, the total AUM at just under 260,000 crores has been more or less flat. Within this, domestic AUM has grown by about 1%, and offshore and alternate AUM has actually degrown a little bit. Our equity AUM at 95,000 crores is about 37% of our total average assets under management. And what I think we're most pleased about is that our SIP share of domestic equity AUM is at 31%, so we have a good steady source of inflows into our equity AUM. On the right-hand side, if I look at our financing bucket, our total lending book at 60,000 crores at the end of December 2018 is up 29% over a year. Within that, there are four elements that I'd like to draw your attention to. The SME and retail mix is at about 58% of our lending book, so this is our total lending book, both our NBFC plus our housing finance company. SME plus retail is now 58% of this total book. Our NIM in our NBFC has expanded by 37 basis points year-on-year to 4.85%. We'd always spoken about our ability to pass on interest increases in our costs to our borrowers and the fact that we were changing our product mix. Both of those are reflected in this 4.85% NIM that you see in our results this quarter. Our HFC lending book has grown very strongly, twice, in fact, almost 2x, with very strong margins, and I'll talk about these in detail. And I think most significantly, in a quarter that was plagued by several challenges, we raised long-term money of 9,000 crores between our NBFC and our housing finance company. So clearly, we were able to raise the long-term money that was required to fund our growth and to be able to deal with our asset liability requirements. If I move on now to slide number four, this is our aggregate financial performance. So if you look at the top of the left page, our consolidated revenue grew by 26% to 4,419 crores at the end of December 2018. Profit after tax, after minority interest, has grown by 42%. So the Q3 PAT on an Ind AS basis is 206 crores. On the right-hand side of the chart, we've shown basically a walkthrough. So from 145 crores of PAT last year, the same time, to 206 crores this time. And I think the main feature of this walkthrough, if you ask me, is the broad-based delivery across the platform. So you'll see contribution from Aditya Birla Finance, you'll see contribution from the AMC, you'll see contribution from Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Housing finance has started contributing significantly. It's a business that started delivering very strong growth and profitability. Our health insurance losses have reduced since last year, and other businesses have also contributed. The delta we've lost actually is because of change in fair value. Had it not been for that, obviously the Q3 number would have been slightly higher. So because we're moving to Ind AS, I think it's just important to understand some of the variability that we see in our numbers, which is what I want to do on slide number 5. So slide number 5 is a reconciliation between GAAP and Ind AS. So if you look at the top of the chart, our GAAP number for Q3 FY19 is about 239 crores. You will note that not all financial services companies are on Ind AS. So I think when you compare some numbers with other numbers, you must understand the difference that is caused by the change in accounting method. So our GAAP is about 240 crores for Q3. It was about 227 crores for Q2. And we lose about 14% in the translation from GAAP to Ind AS because of all the items that you see in the interim. And therefore, our Ind AS profitability is typically about 14% less than our GAAP profitability because of this. Of course, mark-to-market makes a big difference, and that can vary quarter to quarter. We can't predict that. But between ECL and mark-to-market, where there could be some variation, these numbers tend to be, at least for the last two quarters, have been about 13 to 14% less than our GAAP numbers. If you look at slide number 6, I think this breaks down the source of profitability for us at Aditya Birla Capital. And I want to just spend some time walking you through this slide. And I'll just focus on the 9-month number since it's broadly the same thesis even for the quarter. So if you look at the 9-month number, what you see is that the profitable businesses have grown by about 18%. Our profitable businesses generate a profit before tax of 1,624 crores. In this number, of course, is a big dent because of life insurance, which is broadly half, as you can see, if you look at the number. Last 9 months, the profitability was 163 crores. This 9 months, it's 79 crores. And I'll walk you in detail when I talk about that segment as to what has impacted that number. But at the Ind AS level, our aggregate PBT is about 1,624 crores. And then we have three or four items that actually bring down that number to the number at the bottom of the page. We have a health insurance business which we are investing in. You can see that the total investment in that business is 191 crores. This is the total business. This is not our share because, as you know, we have a 51% shareholding in this business. Then there's interest cost, which is there at the holding company level, which is 62 crores. There's brand and marketing expense of another 25 crores. And then some of the other businesses and some standalone costs, they take away another 61 crores. So the 1624 crores becomes 1285 crores. And the reason for you to show it this way is for you to understand that a lot of these issues kind of get sorted out over time. Health insurance, obviously, as we said earlier, breaks even in 3 years' time. The interest cost gets replaced as and when we do an equity fundraise at the topco, and so on and so forth. So I think this just gives you a sense of the scale and scope of the aggregate business and the profitability that is generating. Let me now move on to our individual businesses. I'll start with Aditya Birla Finance and move on to slide number 8. Aditya Birla Finance, as you know, has a diversified loan book, and our focus has been on growing SME and retail and HNI, as we've been mentioning from time to time. This mix has grown by 38% year on year. So if you look at the overall mix on the right-hand side of the top chart, you see that SME plus retail plus HNI is about 49% of our book in this quarter compared to 44%, which was last quarter. So clearly, it's grown faster than the overall book, which is always our intent. We've seen a good improvement in margins led by change in product mix and our ability to pass on increases in interest cost. That is reflected in the middle of the right-hand side where you see our margin, our NIM has grown from 4.47% in the same quarter last year to 4.85% in the quarter this year. Our profit before tax at 323 crores has grown 22% year on year for Q3 FY19 over Q3 FY18. We've maintained our ROE at 13.8% and ROA at 1.9%. But I must add that this ROE has been impacted by two factors. One is the lower wealth fee income that we are noticing now because with the change in upfront commissions payable by mutual funds, obviously the wealth our wealth business has had some impact as a distributor of mutual funds in that regard. And as you mentioned before, we've been putting out OPEX both in terms of new branches and in terms of new sales force on the ground to man these new branches. So if you normalize for these two items, we would have had a higher ROE by about 60 basis points, but for these two items. Let me now move on to slide number 9 and 10, which is a little bit of a deep dive into our portfolio and the quality of the portfolio that we've built at our NBFC. So if I start on slide 9, this shows you the SME bit of my book, the retail bit of our book, and the HNI bit of our book, broken down by the various product segments that we have in each of these customer segments. What I want to highlight here is that if you look at our SME, the SME pillar, Average ticket size in SME is about 7 crores. We do term loans and working capital demand loans to SMEs. These are backed very significantly by cash flows plus additional collateral, which is typically about 1.6 times our loan. So very highly securitized loans that we do in the SME segment. Our retail average ticket size is about 5 lakhs. If you look at our LAP, we do LAP with broadly an LTV of about 50%. And 85% of the securities we get in our LAP business is either against the borrower's office or residence. So you'll understand that these are significant properties for our borrower, and therefore we think much more valuable security. Our average ticket size in LAP is about 2.5 crores. And the loan against security is self-explanatory. It's really loan against liquid securities. If I move on to slide number 10, which talks about our large and mid-corporate book, which is where I think we want to just break that down into the four segments that we have that we currently lend to. So the topmost segment is where we do term loans and working capital demand loans to both large and mid-corporates. Our average ticket size here is about 55 crores. And here we have a completely appraisal-based format where we look at business cash flows, we look at sensitivity to different segments, and then basically securitize ourselves with collaterals that we think are significant. We have a very diversified presence here across different industries, so there's hardly any concentration in any particular industry in our term loan and working capital demand loan piece of our book. The second element of our book is our project loans. Our average ticket size here is about 100 crores. This is a business we really started out in about 2011. Here what we do is we fund projects with ring-fenced cash flows. So it's a specific use of the money and the cash flows are specifically ring-fenced to us. Typically we're about 25 to 30% of the total debt funding for a project over here. So typically we have other participants in a project financing scheme. 96% of our exposure here is to already operating projects. So I want to be clear that we don't run completion risks in these in our project loan element because 96% of our exposure is projects that are already operational. So 4% of projects which are underway and which are under implementation all have recourse to pedigree sponsors. So we are not really dependent on the project itself for completion or any risk there because we are deriving our comfort from the pedigree sponsors with whom we are dealing. I must also say that in this entire segment, since the time we started in 2011, our total credit loss is something like 40 crores across 8 years of operating in this business segment. So as you can imagine, as a percentage of my total book, this is really a very small amount and is testimony really to the quality of appraisal and the quality of portfolio that we've built in this segment. The structured finance segment has an average ticket size of about 90 crores. This is typically structured with recourse to cash flows of the obligor and we then augment that security by looking at the sponsor entity and get additional coverage through that mechanism. Here we typically get about a 2-2.5% markup over what you would do if you didn't have a structure. So this gives us, you know, some of the kicker that we need in terms of yield that is there in this book. And the last element of this book is construction finance, which is about 7% of our overall book, so actually a reasonably small number at about 3,500 crores. In this case, over 90% of our borrowers have a track record of delivering over 5 million square feet. So we're really dealing with pretty large borrowers. I didn't want to say category A, B because that tends to be a very loosely used term. So we wanted to give you a sense of the scale and scope of the borrowers we're dealing with. Our average loan tenor in our construction finance book is about 2.5 years, which again gives you a sense of the timing at which we get into these loans and the kind of track record we're seeing in terms of sale of units, because that's what ultimately pays back these units, these loans. So we've seen a very strong repayment track record from the sale of units that we've had in our construction finance book. If I move on now to slide number 11, I think this slide gives you a slightly longer term picture of the loan book growth and the quality of our asset book. So our loan book has grown by about 32% from FY15 to the 9-month period ended FY19. Very strong growth in top line. More than 80% of our book is secured. We keep saying that our focus is really on cash flow based underwriting. Even when we do LAP, I should have mentioned, our primary source of comfort really still is cash flow. So all our underwriting is based on cash flow basis. Even with the strong growth in the top line, we have continued to maintain very strong asset quality. Over this period, FY15 to 9-month FY19, as recognition of NPAs has dropped from 180 days to 90 days, you'll see that our gross NPA and net NPA has broadly trended in a similar range. For the nine-month period FY19, including ILFS, our gross NPA is 1.17. If we adjust for the ILFS exposure, our NPA is only 1.03%, which we think is perfectly in line with the kind of business that we are writing. Slide number 12 will give you an indication of how our cost of borrowing is moved, and in response to that, what has been happening to our NIMs. So the top chart will show you that cost of borrowing has kind of moved from highs of 8.4% to lows of 7.8%. But our NIM has broadly stayed in a range, and more recently we've broken out of that range as we've changed our product mix. So the 4.9% growth that you saw, NIM that you see in Q3, is partly a result of repricing, but partly a result of the change in our product mix as well. Slide number 13 will show you our ALM. As we showed you last quarter, our ALM is optimized for both liquidity and cost. Up to a one-year period, we are now completely balanced. In fact, we have a cumulative surplus up to a one-year period. As I mentioned at the beginning, we have raised considerable amount of long-term money across both our lending businesses. We have raised something like 7,300 crores in Q3 alone in our NBFC across various sources, from something from IFC Washington. We've raised term loans, we've raised NCDs, and we've raised sub-debt across the board. And we think we've got an adequate liquidity pipeline to meet our growth requirements going forward. On the right-hand side of this slide, you'll see that not only are we raising money, but we're diversifying across instruments and investors. So on the right-hand side, you'll see we're getting money from banks, mutual funds, corporates, FIIs, insurance, and provident funds. And if you look at our borrowing mix, you'll see our CP less than 3 months is now only 13%, which we think is a very comfortable number to work with. We continue to broad-base our investor profile. We have over 426 people who we are working with, and we have a very comfortable capital adequacy ratio. Slide number 14, the financials of our NBFC. Very quickly, 24% growth in top line, net interest margin that has been expanding, and profit before tax for the 9 months, which is up by 27%. So 24% growth in lending books, 27% growth in profit before tax. Big impact of this because of the change in product mix. If I move now to our housing finance company, slide number 16, the housing finance book grew by 60% year on year. Within this affordable, the affordable book is about 1,176 crores. That's growing faster than the overall book from a much lower base. We've seen a significant improvement in our cost income ratio, mainly led by scale and operating efficiency. So the middle of the chart will show you our cost income ratio has come down from 74% to 59% year on year. Here again, we have a very high quality asset book. Our GNPA is roughly flat from previous quarter. Net NPA has actually come down slightly over previous quarter. Very strong growth in profit in this business. Our Q3 profit before tax has grown 3 times year on year to 32 crores. And our year-to-date profit is 67 crores in this business. And we think we're tracking for 100 crore profit in this business for the full year. We're giving you for the first time the ROA and ROE for this business because the numbers are now starting to get reasonably meaningful. So as of Q3 FY19, on an annualized basis, our ROE is 7.17%. And our ROA is 0.8%. We think there'll be a little bit of upside to this as we go through the last quarter of this year. Slide number 17 will give you a breakup of our home loan portfolio between home loans, affordable, LAP, and CF. 70% of our book is between prime home loans and affordable and the affordable book. The balance 30% is broken down between LAP and CF. In the LAP book, our average ticket size is 58 lakhs. Last year it was 89 lakhs, so clearly you can see the average ticket size coming down. Our loan-to-value here is about 48%, much in line with the LAP that you saw in our NBFC as well. Construction finance, our average ticket size is about 25 crores if I take it on a sanction basis, and about 13 crores on outstanding. But as you know, we disburse money here based on the progress of the project. On the right-hand side of the chart, I want to draw your attention to three or four data items. In the affordable segment, 56% of our customer base are still salaried customers. So although we have ventured into the affordable segment, we're still dealing with customers who have much more regular source of income, even though the ticket sizes are lower. Our contractual tenor in the home loan is about 18 years, and the industry actuarial average tenor is about 9 years, but we are writing good loans, at least on a contractual basis, at 18 years. 20% of our affordable home loan portfolio is backed by a mortgage guarantee. So this gives us additional security on the book that we are actually putting out in the affordable home loan space. And 40% of our affordable home loan portfolio is eligible for the Prime Minister's subsidy scheme. So again, you know, we think that this is a very interesting statistic from our home loan business. So I'll move on to slide number 18. We have a very broad geographic mix. We've always said we're not focused on any particular geography. We have a very balanced distribution strategy, and we're now tapping growth in two and three cities, tier two and tier three cities, through affordable housing. We now have 68 operational branches, which is up from 44 branches, operational branches at the same time last year. Direct sourcing now is over 50%, so 52% of our loans are sourced directly, and we have 3,800 channel partners, you know, across the platform. Slide number 19 will talk to you about our margins through different cycles. Again, much like our NBFC, we have optimized both our borrowing costs and been able to maintain our margins across interest rate cycles. So if you look at the bottom of the chart, you'll see our NIMs at 3.3% in Q3, 3.3% in Q2, and you know we started out with a slightly lower NIM in Q1, after which we did the repricing to be able to get our NIMs up. This really then demonstrates our ability to pass on borrowing cost increases to our borrowers. Slide number 20 is our ALM for our housing finance company. Much like our NBFC, this ALM is optimized for liquidity and cost. We more or less balanced up to the 1 year period. In this book, we've raised 11 long-term borrowings of 1,500 crores in Q3 of FY19. And again, we believe here we've got adequate long-term lines to meet our growth requirements. We just received a sanction from NHB, in fact, in this book, which will also provide us long-term funding to be able to grow this book. On the right-hand side of slide 20, the same theme as in the NBFC, we continue to broad-base our investor profile. We have now funding from over 20 banks, and we continue to maintain very comfortable capital adequacy. Slide 21 will give you the finances of our housing finance company. Lending book has grown very strongly, as I mentioned earlier, and the profit before tax has grown even stronger as we get scale economy. So we've seen very good metrics here, both on the book as well as in profit before tax. Let me now move on to slide 23, which starts talking about our asset management company. In our asset management company, our domestic equity assets under average assets under management grew by 8% year on year. If you look at a two-year CAGR, the overall AUM of the industry is broadly in line. If you exclude ETFs, we are broadly in line with the industry growth. So industry has grown by about 16%. We've grown by about 60%. And when you look at equity over a two-year CAGR, industry has grown at 36% and we've grown at 41%. So we've gained market share in equity over a two-year period as well. The overall AUM growth has been muted due to other asset classes, much in line with the rest of the industry. Our domestic equity mix is at about 36% at the end of December 2018. This is up 12% in 2 years, so really a significant move in terms of equity in our overall mix. Our PBT has shown a very good increase in our asset management company. PBT has increased by 31% year on year, and we've reported a PBT of 27 bips of average AUM compared to a prior year number of 21 bips. This is pretty much amongst the highest profitability numbers that we've seen in our asset management company in terms of basis points. Slide number 24 shows a strong focus on retail expansion. So whichever metric you look at, whether you look at retail AUM, you look at investor folios, or you look at our monthly SIP book, you see broadly a 2x multiple. So our retail plus HNI AUM at 1,23,000 crores is almost double where it was 2 years ago at about 75,000 crores. Investor folios at 6.8 million in December 18 has doubled from where it was in December 16. In fact, we've added almost a million new folios in the 9 month period FY19 alone. Our monthly SIP book at over 1,000 crores has grown 2x over 2 years, and our SIP market share continues to remain very strong at 11.7%. We have a strong focus on B30 cities where we continue to see money coming in from, and B30 now contributes about 33% of our total retail AUM. Slide 25, on the left-hand side, you will see the distribution mix of the industry versus our distribution mix. We are not a bank-owned mutual fund, so our bank distribution per se is slightly lower than the industry, but we make that up from other channels, as you can see on the left-hand side of the chart. If I were to show you this chart for just equity, you would see that we have much greater IFA share in equity within our overall mix. On the right-hand side of slide 25, really our focus, more than 75% of our locations are in B30 cities. That's where we see, you know, future growth coming from, and we plan to further expand our presence in these B30 cities. Slide 26 is a function of the strong push we're making in our digital assets, in our asset management company. So the left-hand side, you see some of the digital assets that we have. And on the right-hand side, if you look at digital transactions as a percentage of the total, they've grown from about 54% in 9 months last year to about 78% this year. So clearly showing you the traction that is coming through in the industry as well in terms of driving digital transactions. Slide number 27 is the profitability of the asset management company. And I'll just draw your attention here to the fact that profit before tax for the quarter has grown 31%, and we've expanded our, in terms of basis points, from 21 basis points, which is where we were last year, same quarter, to 27 basis points at the end of December 2018. So strong improvement in profitability in the asset management company. Let me now move on to our life insurance company, which has had a stellar quarter. So slide number 29, if you look at our numbers, our individual FYP, so what we've done is we've given a 10% weightage to single premium here and obviously taken regular premium at 100%. That number grew by 68% year-on-year for the nine-month period. The industry by comparison grew by 8%, so that's led to a significant increase in market share for us, as I mentioned at the beginning. For Q3 alone, our growth was 79% year-on-year, so although 68% is for the nine-month period, for the Q3, our growth was 79% year-on-year. Our group business continues to grow strongly as well. That's grown by about 52% year-on-year when I take the nine-month number. As I said, because we're growing so much faster than the industry, our market share has grown strongly. Market share increased by 138 basis points. We are now over 4% market share, excluding LIC, in the life insurance business. The strong growth in top line and the change in product mix has meant that our gross VNB has grown very strongly. So for the nine-month period, our gross VNB has grown by 87% year-on-year. And as I mentioned at the beginning, our VNB margin at 34% is again very strong for the nine-month period. If I look at slide 30, it really will give you a sense of the drivers of the growth of our VNB and our margin. So the left-hand side will show you the change in our protection mix, in our total mix. So we moved from about 5% protection last year, 9 months, to 7% protection in our overall mix of FY19. So that's had a positive impact on margins. But I would also draw your attention to the balanced product mix that we have, because we honestly think that we've got a very well-balanced product mix between protection, non-par, par, and ULIP, and we think that protects us from downside and variations in market conditions, for instance, and gives us a much stronger platform for growth. If I move to the right-hand side of the chart, a lot of good numbers on this side of the chart. So our gross VNB is virtually doubled year-on-year. That's the number 196 crores to 366 crores. Our net VNB margin for the third quarter was 5.2%. For Q2 FY19, our net VNB margin was 2.5%. So quarter-on-quarter, we've seen a good expansion in margins. If I look at the YTD numbers, our net VNB margin YTD FY19 was 1%. Same time last year, this number was minus 11%. And we ended last year ultimately with 4.3% positive from a minus 11 in the nine-month period. So I think we have reasonable confidence that this plus 1% in the nine-month period FY19 should end up with low double digits when we look at the full year in terms of net VNB. The factors contributing to sharp improvement in net VNB, the positive factors are clearly much higher volume, very good mix of products, and the productivity growth we've seen across the platform. And the negative impact, obviously, is the new business strain as we scale up the HDFC Bank partnership across the various branches that we are present in. Slide number 31 gives you a sense of the mix by channel. We've seen a consistent increase in the contribution of the partnership channel. So if you look at the right-hand side of the chart, you'll see partnerships contributing to about 531 crores in the nine-month period versus our proprietary channels, which have contributed to 508 crores. A large bit of this growth, obviously, is coming from HDFC Bank. Which we've been scaling up. We're also looking now to grow our protection mix in our partnerships. If you look at the bottom of the chart, you see our partnerships have only 2% protection, whereas proprietary has 12% protection. So clearly we're looking to increase the protection mix in our partnerships as well in Q4 and beyond. But while we've done this, our proprietary channel actually has also contributed significantly to our margin improvement. And this is driven partly by increase in productivity, and partly by the change in product mix that you see on the right-hand side of the chart at the bottom. So with our proprietary channels now doing 12% protection, clearly the margin and the economics of that channel look very different. Slide number 32 will speak to the quality and the focus on quality that the management team has had in terms of improving quality of the book. So on the left-hand side, you look at persistency, whether 13-month, 25th month, or 37-month, you're broadly seeing a 4% uplift in persistency numbers. And surrenders, if you look at, surrenders have come down significantly from where they were in the mid 13% ranges to less than 10% in 9 months FY19. Both of these obviously have an impact on the embedded value of the business, which adds to the value overall of the value that the business that is being created. So slide number 33 will show you the financials of the life insurance company. And as I said earlier, there's a bit of noise here because of the movement to Ind AS. Most other listed insurers are not on Ind AS, so I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about this slide. So obviously the top of the slide will tell you all the strong growth in terms of top line, individual premium, group premium, and our renewal premium, all of which are moving in the right direction. But I want to draw your attention to the bottom of the slide, where if you look, between last year and this year, we've actually had a double whammy through movement from IGAAP to Ind AS. Because last year, for the 9 month period as well as for the quarter, Ind AS had higher profitability than GAAP because of mark to market movements. And this quarter, because of mark to market movements, actually Ind AS has had a lower profit compared to GAAP. So as a result of this, if you look at the 9 month period, the net delta is about 55 crores because of just change in methodology from Ind AS to GAAP. And that obviously impacts our overall numbers as well. So we think that some of this volatility, as it reduces, you know, will cause less noise in the life insurance numbers and will give a more stable sense of the profitability of this underlying business. I'd now like to move on to slide number 35, talking about our health insurance business. Very strong growth here as well. Our gross premium has doubled in the last year, driven really by a very strong growth in our retail business, which is up about 5.5 times from the 9 month period last year to the 9 month period this year. And our retail GWP mix is about 60% of our total. We've built a significant distribution capacity in this business, and we're really focusing on making sure that we are improving our claims experience. So if you look at the middle of the right-hand side chart, you see our overall claims ratio has come down from about 100% where it was 9 months last year to 75%, driven by the retail claims ratio at 46%, which is a very healthy sign. We're building profitable growth in this business. We mentioned earlier, we mentioned that 73 crores of loss that we had in Q2 last year was a peak loss. The Q3 PBT loss is 54 crores. And as we mentioned last time, we're very much on track to break even in this business in 3 years' time at an indicative GWP level of about 1,700 to 2,000 crores. If I look at the bottom right-hand side of this chart on page number 35, you see our combined ratio coming down from 193% to 175% for 9 months. We think we're on track for about 150-155% combined ratio for the full year, which is really then positions us on track for the break-even that we're speaking about in 3 years' time. If you look at slide number 36, this is a good chart to show you the capacity that we've built in distribution and in provider network. We have today one of the largest third-party distribution capacities in the industry. We have 9 banker tie-ups within 2 years of operation. In this quarter, we've just signed up Citibank, which will go live in Q4 of FY19. And given the capacity utilization that we have in each of these partners, we think there is significant upside potential from the capacity that we already have in our book already. We have one of the largest provider networks in this business. We have tie-ups with over 5,300 hospitals across 650 cities. So pretty much the platform is a platform that's ready for significant growth. And what you see every quarter from here on is really us utilizing this capacity as we go forward. Slide number 37 will show you the 3 big drivers of value creation in this business. These 3 value drivers are retail versus institutional, a group. So you see that our retail business now is 60% of our total business compared to 34% where it was last year. So that drives margins clearly in a positive way. We've always said that non-metro has higher margins than metro. Non-metro now 35% of our total mix versus 27% last year. So again, that drives value in a big way. And fixed benefit products have higher margin than indemnity products. Fixed benefit products now are 20% of our mix versus 8% where they were in FY18. So each of these indicators moving in the right direction in terms of value creation. Slide number 38 is our total financials for our health insurance business. So retail premium has grown very strongly, as you can see. Gross written premium has doubled. And as I mentioned earlier, this business has a loss for the 9 month period of 191 crores, but is on track to break even in 3 years' time. The last slide I'd like to draw your attention to before we open up for questions is slide number 40, And the headline from this slide is basically, you know, the other businesses that we have at various stages of development basically have lost about 1 crore in the 9-month period, so really haven't contributed much nor lost much in the overall scheme of things at an Aditya Birla Capital level. So I'd like to stop here and welcome any questions that you have. My colleagues from various businesses, both CEOs and CFOs, will be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. We have a first question from the line of Kunal Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations. Good set of numbers. Firstly, in terms of yields, so we had seen the substantial increase out there quarter on quarter. So if you can explain maybe across the product segments, what has led to this, maybe in terms of the overall increase which has happened, and how do we see the trajectory going forward, because I don't think entire book would have got repriced in one single quarter. So the reason for this kind of a 50 bips kind of an improvement in the yield and the trajectory going forward.
Yeah, so we have been able to pass on the increase in cost of funds across our customer segments, different customer segments. And also if you look at our product mix has been changing over the last year or so. Earlier, our retail and SME was close to 42%, now it's closer to 50%. So that has really helped us to improve our margins across different segments. And if you look at our unsecured small business loans, which is there, that business, our digital business, that has all helped us to improve our margins.
Okay, but otherwise in terms of if we look at it at the card rates, how would it have moved up in a few of the important segments? If we have to look at it in terms of the increase in the lending rate, so what has been the rise across?
No, so in, if your question is that how many hikes or how many increases we have done 4 increases across the customer segments.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be to the tune of?
No, so that is to the tune of how much increase. And again, because we have a short-term loan and we have long-term loans. So it's in the range of whatever the increase in cost of funds, which is in the range of 110 basis to 125 basis points, which we have been able to pass it on.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of Ireland FS, so this shows that there has been some rise of 14 odd basis points. So how has the classification been? Because last time when we look at it, the disclosures which we had given, okay, there were like 3 towards the SPVs. So which account has actually got slipped, and maybe the balance which is standard, have we made any kind of provisioning on that book?
So one of the road assets that we had has been technically become NPA, because as you know, there's been a moratorium on servicing of debt at ILFS, so that is shown over here. We made a provision of about 15% for the ILFS assets across, and I think we'll take a call based on where the NCLT hearing goes in terms of how they deal with the SPV related items. So we think we're very very comfortably positioned at this point in time.
Okay, so entire Ireland FS, maybe 390 odd crores, we would have done 60-70 crores kind of a provisioning on that.
No. There is part of that we didn't need to provision because it's a regular asset. So the solar asset that we have that we don't need to provide because that's a regular asset. So on the rest of it, we provided 15%.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Abhishek Sarav from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So just few questions on the insurance business. So as I can see that now there is an intent to drive a protection product through the banking channels now. So I just wanted to understand, so what kind of products you are looking at? So will it be largely credit life products, or you think that it could be retail products as well? And currently, like around 2% of your banking book, I mean, premium from banks, banker channel is what kind of products are there right now?
So I should have clarified that this protection is only individual. So these are all just individual products. We are not counting the group number in the protection. So these are basically individual term plans.
Okay. And so going forward also, we intend to do it through only individual, not the credit life product, which we are seeing in many other LI companies are seeing strong growth there.
We are doing that, but that number is not included in this protection number.
Yeah, that's in the group business. We don't we show only individual retail business.
So what percentage of our group business would be credit?
So credit is double life. So
we will close this year at around 100 crores.
So we have about 100 crores of group creditor business.
Okay.
That is not included. Yeah.
Okay.
That is not included in this number.
That's not included.
Okay, sir. On just slightly on the health insurance side, just wanted to understand that we have a product in which you get a discount after 1 year of means of the policy. So what proportion, since now it's like 2 years that the business has been operational, so what proportion of customers are actually getting those kind of discounts? And is that also one of the reason that our combined ratio is high in this business? Or is it largely due to the higher expenses as such?
Well, the combined ratio is high because it's a business which is only 2 years old. I think businesses take time to build scale. But I'll just ask Mayank to respond to your first question.
Yeah, so it's a journey, Abhishek, that, you know, we go with our consumers. So, you know, the whole journey of how do we make the consumers aware of our health to finally getting onto a journey of improving and then finally earning some return. So I think the good part is that, you know, about one third and more of our consumers have already started, you know, doing something about their health by starting, you know, going for something what we call health assessments. And this is vis-a-vis an industry average of just about 3-4%. So this is a great start, and then we get, you know, to engage at the next level for them to, you know, get towards health return earning. And this also gives us access to much more, you know, information about the consumers to help us manage claims over a period of next 3-4 years, which is what will lead to better, you know, profitability for us in the business.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. So one last question on the life insurance bit again. So currently, what percentage of our book will be now contributed by HDFC Bank of our overall APE? Hello?
New premium 38-39%.
So it's about 35-38%.
35-38% of our over will be
of the new business.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Sunil Tirumalai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Good evening. My first question is on the AMC business. The market share, you know, seems to be slipping up a bit. I'm sorry, slipping up a bit compared to the previous quarters. What reasons would you attribute for the same?
Yes, then the market share drop was largely on account of one, the debt fund has seen a bit of outflow, and since we have been enjoying high market share and debt funds for quite long time, and there is a marginal outflow in the debt funds. And second is equity, generally this quarter is a little muted for the whole industry. And we also had a little muted growth as far as the equity is concerned. And both put together, the market share has come down marginally.
Okay.
So Sunil, there are two categories where we've lost market share, what Bala has been saying. One is equity, which is there in the debt. The other category is in part of our debt funds, where we had probably the highest market share. So I think there's a bit of normalization in that.
Right, got it. And Bala, I mean, just wanted to also get your views representing the sector as a whole, not just for the company. I mean, with you know, for the debt mutual fund, the fixed income mutual funds, you know, credit risk becoming important with some of the you know, stressed exposures. Do you see any impact on flows?
Yeah, I think it will remain muted for some time. One is the noise level generally is little weak since the time this LFS broke out in the month of September. Then continuous pressure on NBFCs. And then the third, which is the in general, the loan against shares kind of things that have happened recently. That has put some kind of pressure on the growth that we are, all of us have been building on credit funds. We will probably see some more muted growth for next at least a quarter or so till such time sentiment improves. But having said that, I must also mention that both industry as well as ourselves have been playing it very carefully in ensuring that the investors' confidence is not shaken. And the way I think the communication is being done and also engaging with the regulators also has been helping the industry. The recent case is the LFS judgment is coming, wherein very clear the clear dictate may come that that secured lenders will have a upper hand over others, which essentially will, I think once the judgment comes, I think it will probably boost the confidence back towards the debt fund. It's a more of temporary, I would assume, and the noise levels, especially for mutual fund debt funds, is high because ours is 100% disclosure. And people can do any kind of analysis and still put out anything that they want to put. So therefore, the coverage is pretty high. And despite that, we are managing it quite well because of the engagement at the ground level is pretty high actually.
And how's the you know, how's the regulator been looking at it? How are your interactions with the regulator?
No. The regulator, of course, knows very clearly that the industry has grown in big in size. And these kind of things is bound to happen. As long as we are able to manage the risk by keeping the exposure under control, at the same time, communicate very clearly the underlying risk that is involved in every asset class. Very case in point, I will say that, for example, credit fund, the name itself says now credit risk fund nowadays, which means from customer point of view, it's very clear the credit funds will carry credit risk. The only other question that comes from regulatory is, are we communicating that very clearly in the mutual fund subject to market risk, whether that needs to be changed in order to carry some more risk highlights from a customer point of view. Therefore, regulator point of view, they do understand that industry is becoming big, the large player in the industry, and therefore these things are bound to happen. But as long as the industry together is able to manage the risk, I think they don't seem to be concerned.
Great. Thank you, Bala. I have one question on the insurance business. So it's good to see that the banca tie-up with HDFC Bank is already 35% of the new business. If I recall, this was actually kind of the outer range of what you had expected this account itself to become, this partner to become. So what's the you know, upside from here on this?
So I think you are right. We've been positively surprised with the traction in HDFC Bank this year. So we continue to see traction in Q4, and you know, we think there is still upside in that channel because we've clearly not even activated all the branches that exist over there.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions and congrats on a good quarter. Firstly, just to go back on, you know, Kunal's questions on ILFS. So are the other SPVs paying you or is it just this road project that has stopped because of the moratorium?
Yeah, so the recognition of the NPAs will happen based on different times depending on when interest was due. So the one that we've already classified is clearly crossed the period and we have to classify it as an NPA. There's one more road asset where we, you know, if we don't get interest during this quarter, we will have to classify that as a GNPA. But we are hoping that the NCLT hearing will give us clarity on that.
Okay. No, but then if I just come technically, the moratorium was declared in mid-October, so ideally it should turn into NPL in mid-Jan. So was this account already in SMA 1 or SMA 2 at the time of the moratorium, the one that has been already classified?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's and on the SL group, do we have any exposure?
So you're talking about our mutual fund?
No, lending, NBFC.
So, you know, in our NBFC book, we don't talk about any specific names because there's obviously contractual privacy that we have with all our clients. But I think you should just look at our track record and you should look at the book that we built. And I think that should give you comfort.
Yeah, that's fair. Thirdly, how much of borrowings do we have, at the parent level? And what percentage of that is CPs?
So we have about 1,300 crores of borrowing at the parent level.
Okay. Is it largely long term or short term?
It's largely short term. It's meant to be refinanced.
Okay. And just one last small bookkeeping question. Did we close or merge any HFC branches in the quarter? Because, the branch count last time was 70 and now it's 68. So either it's a, misprint or have we actually done some business changes out there?
So we have not closed any branches. These are operational branches which we have mentioned.
Okay.
So we haven't closed any branches.
Yeah, but I don't know where you got the 70 number from.
From the last quarter's PPT.
Oh, okay.
So,
we haven't said anything.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions from my side. Just starting with the lending business. There has been a fair amount of growth in the project loans and the construction finance business. So I was just curious that, if you look at most of your peers, they have slowed down. Some of them have slowed down because they have been constrained on liquidity, while some others have said that, look, there is a liquidity concern and, we don't know where the business is heading, so they have slowed down. So I was just curious as to, what are your perspectives on this?
Look at the project loan has come down from a 33% to 31%, and in terms of the construction finance, if you look at this is only 7% of our overall book. So our exposure to the developer segment is very limited. From the beginning, we have kept this segment in terms of in line with our risk appetite.
Sure. I think my numbers sort of suggested that. Project loan had gone up, but anyway, I think I can just come back on this. I think the question that I actually had was that what is the outlook to this business? Would you kind of say that because competition is slowing down, is this a big opportunity? Or would you kind of, be a little concerned about the liquidity at developers? How do you see the overall space evolving over the next one or two quarters in terms of, asset quality as well as growth?
We have been very cautious from the beginning, and as you look at our overall portfolio, it's a very well-diversified portfolio. We don't really go big on any one segment in terms of taking risk, and we will continue to be very cautious on this segment looking at the real estate scenario. So we will evaluate in the next couple of quarters, but we will continue to be cautious.
Nishant, and I'll just add to what Rakesh is saying that we don't necessarily always have a top-down view. We also look at what the individual opportunities are, and that drives. So we can be bullish on a sector or not bullish on a sector, but in both cases you can find stuff to do or not do. So I think you have to match both the top-down view as well as the view of the actual credit that we get. But I think as you've seen from this data, we have very low exposure generally to developer finance because we've always been cautious about this segment.
Sure. And anything specific to read in the quarter-on-quarter decline in the LAP book? LAP, which is a part of SME.
22 to... So that's a very marginal decline. So again, on LAP book, the way we do LAP is it's completely backed by cash flows and is also backed by a real estate collateral. So clearly, if you see, yes, we are evaluating that segment also, but our performance on this segment has been outstanding. And we continue to pick and choose customer basis, his ability and cash flows, and the quality of security which we take.
Sure. The tenure would be like what in these loans, I mean?
So the contractual tenors can be 7-8 years, but the actuarial is around three years or so.
Sure. Because my math suggests that this book is down 17% quarter on quarter. So maybe in case, I can maybe just cross check in case my math is kind of somewhere wrong or something like that.
Yeah, it was about 25% of our book last quarter, and it's now 21% of our book. But
and the book has grown, so it's a 17% quarter-on-quarter decline.
Yeah, but in absolute numbers, that number may not be significant, right? So I think you should look at it in terms of absolute numbers.
Sure. Just moving on to the asset management business, what is the share of SIP in incremental inflows in the equities?
Yeah. I think incremental inflows on we measure on the base of registration has been close to about 11% that on the incremental info that is coming to the industry. And the overall book size, what Ajay mentioned earlier, because of our accrual that we have made last number of years, now we have about 31% of our equity assets under management is coming from the SIP book size, which will also determine our sustainability of AUM as we move forward.
Sure. So just to, if I heard it right, what you said is that of the incremental equity inflows that you are getting, 11% is SIP and the balance...
Only in the SIP. But otherwise, on the incremental inflows, it's around 9% roughly is the number on the incremental inflows.
Okay, 9% is SIP. Because if I look at the overall industry number in of equity inflows, it looks like SIP kind of, is disproportionately higher number of the total equity inflows in the industry. I mean, in fact, the overall SIP inflows last month were more than the total net equity inflows, to the industry. So I was just wondering whether the number would be as low.
So if you look at that on a gross flow basis, it's about 50%.
Okay. Yeah. And any negotiation that you had, any update on the negotiation that you would have with the distributors on the impact of TER cut and how much could be shared between the distributors and, what kind of a hit you may have to take?
No, not yet. I think that's all work in progress.
Sure. And just last question from my side, which is, I'm looking at slide number 30 and I'm just kind of, looking at your comment on the VNB margin. So looking at the trend over the last, what you're saying is that last year 3Q was 5.2 and, this year 3Q was 5.2 and 2Q was 2.5 and 9 months was 1%. Just kind of trying to understand as to how should we be reading it, in terms of what FY19 could be.
I said earlier, I was guiding that you should expect low double-digit net VNB margin for the year.
Net VNB margin or low double digit. Okay.
Net VNB margin of low double digit for the year.
Sure. Great. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Vibha Batra from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. This is on ECL. In Q3 FY19, I'm on slide with comparison on ECL versus, I think, slide 6. It's minus 18 versus 1 crore previous quarter. What explains such a large variation? Has your methodology changed or it's purely increase in NPLs or 30 plus? I mean stage 1 assets. Stage 2 assets.
So this is largely the IL&FS exposure I spoke about earlier.
Okay. So as per the earlier IGAAP, the provisioning requirement was much lower, but you made much higher. That's the difference?
That's right.
Okay. And how much is the absolute exposure to IL&FS entities?
So as I mentioned earlier, we have a total exposure of about 388 crores, which we disclosed last time. Of that, there's one large asset, about 170 crores, which is you know, regular, that asset is regularly paying. On the balance, we provided 15%.
Okay. So about 210 crore has led to this change in ECL provisions, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's the math, yes. So about 30 crores of provisioning total on these assets. So we already provided some before. Now we've taken the provisioning to 15%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Prashant Sridhar from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So my first question is on the construction book. You know, I might be wrong here. So 60 crores for a 5 million square feet project seems to be on the smaller side. So if you can throw a little more color on this.
If you look at these are the, it goes stage-wise. We fund stage-wise construction. And also as the sale happens, the repayment keep coming in. So our outstanding is at 60 crores per customer level.
Okay, okay, thanks. And secondly, would you have the stage 3 numbers for the September and December quarter for the NBFC and HFC?
And also just to add on the construction finance, these are the developers who have already built, they have a track record of building, building 5 million square feet. It's not these projects which we are talking about. So we look at the standalone project and then we fund it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You had another question.
Yeah. Hello? Hey, you had another question.
Yeah. Would you have the stage 3 number for the NBFC and HFC in the September and December quarter?
Giving you the NPA number, no?
Yeah, in rupees crores.
Yeah, that you can work out. I don't have it offhand, but I'm sure you can work it out.
Yeah, sure. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Abhishek Lika from Nest Wealth Management Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, like, in terms of LAF account, do we fund any promoters and all? Because SEBI might be considering, like, banning LAS accounts for promoters.
So you're talking about NBFC or AMC?
I'm talking about NBFC. NBFC funding LAS accounts against shares of promoters.
So the NBFC is regulated by RBI, which has a specific guideline on loan against shares. It's not governed by SEBI.
Okay, because it was just clipping from the SEBI side. And secondly, any plans of like ECB kind of coming out the ECB exposures and all for expanding the liability side?
So one of the options we have is to look at raising money offshore. We are exploring that option as well. And I think over the course of the next few months, we'll start doing work on that. But that is an option. Okay. We have opportunity to both raise money from public deposits in, within the country and to raise money from outside the country, both of which we will evaluate.
Okay. And then with regard to the debt funds, like particularly we have been listening quite a lot of big exposure towards SL Group and all. Could just quantify what exactly the exposure is and how things are?
The exposure that we have in the some of the debt funds, one to the loan against shares to the promoter, and second is one of the road projects where the cash flow is coming as a backup, and both the exposures are fully secured with about two times cover. This is a combination of the equity holding in the infra assets as well as the entertainment listed shares, and these are part of the scheme. And these are again largely into the some of the credit funds and the mix of credit funds and other debt funds.
So these are all disclosed in our fact sheets. So I'm sure you can get all the details, like you know which exposures in which fund. And
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Shiv Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what was the movement in the disbursements on a quarter-on-quarter basis for the NBFC arm?
Just 1 minute.
Sure.
Yeah, so close to 9,000 crores is the disbursement in quarter three.
What was it in Q2, sir?
In Q2. Q2 was 11,000 crores.
Okay. So, because I see that the AUM growth has been a bit tepid on a quarter-on-quarter basis, is it due to any demand-side issues, or you yourself took a more calibrated approach during Q3? How is it going to pan out going forward?
I think you have to understand Q3 was a period of considerable disruption in the NBFC industry. So, you know, clearly September is when the IL&FS crisis broke out, and that impacted all the NBFC and the entire sector. So it took us a little bit of time to just figure out what we wanted to do. So it is a quarter where I think number of things moved, and we still grew by 1200 crores net or about 1400 crores net. So I think given the circumstances, I think we ended up with very good outcomes.
Right. And what is the incremental cost of borrowing in Q3, sir, compared to Q2?
Q3 cost of borrowing we've already shown is 830.
That's the cumulative number, right?
Yeah, so are you asking where it will be in Q4?
I'm asking what was the incremental cost of borrowing for the borrowings which you raised in Q3, what was your cost of funds?
So about 8.4.
And what is the movement, sir, from a quarter-on-quarter point of view?
So quarter 2 was 8, if you look at slide 12, if you see, quarter 2 was 8%.
Okay. But this is for the entire existing borrowings, right, sir?
So, So the incremental cost for Q2 was 8.6.
8.6.
It
comes
down to 8.4 in
Q3. Great. And, sir, are you seeing any kind of stress in the construction finance, both in the NBFC arm and the housing finance segment?
No.
We have been very careful from the beginning on this segment.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Kisle Upadhyay from Abacus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations. Just a small clarification on the previous question of slowdown on dispersal. Did it happen because of liquidity constraint, or did we take a cautious approach because of the ensuing environment?
Actually, it's a combination of both. I mean, clearly, we had to make sure that we were getting our funding organized for being able to grow. And we had to make sure that the ALM was adequately supported. And at the same time, we were evaluating what's happening in the environment given of the enormous disruption we were seeing. So I think it is a function of both. I think Q3 is a very unusual quarter. And I think you have to look at Q3 very differently to any other quarter you look at.
So why I'm asking is because we were relatively comfortably placed in terms of ALM back when it started.
Yeah, we were well within the RBI guidelines for ALM. We've always been within those guidelines. We didn't know where liquidity was going. So in fact, that's why we wanted to just match ourselves for a year and make sure that even on a year's basis, we were completely matched. So that required obviously some change in borrowing.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Sunil Tirumalai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A follow-up based on one of the previous questions. So a 9,000 crore disbursement, that's for the NBFC or the HFC? Or combining the HFC?
It's only NBFC.
So a 9,000 crore disbursement leading to a book increase of only 1,300 odd crore. Suggests a fairly sharp rundown rate. I mean, the calculated duration comes to about 18, 19 months only. So, are we reading that right?
But it's similar to the trend in the previous quarter as well. What is the repayment in Q3? So we had repayments of 8,000 crores in Q2, Sunil. And the other thing in Q3 that we had was we had some sell downs of portfolio that we exited, that we held, that we sold down. So there was a little bit more of that repayment as well counted as repayment.
Oh, okay. So can you quantify the sell downs and, you know, any upfront gains booked on the same?
No upfront gains, but
around 2,000 crores.
Around 2,000 crores of sell down.
Okay, and I mean, typically, you know, under Ind AS, you would have. So this is PTC sell down, is it? It's not.
No, this is loan. This is loan sell down.
Oh, okay, understood. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan for closing comments. Sir, over to you.
So thank you very much for joining us on this evening for our quarterly call. Thank you very much for your questions. If you have any further questions, please get in touch with Pramod Bora. We'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us. You may now disconnect your lines.